Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Rebecca Baxt podcast. I'm Dr. Rebecca Baxt, board-certified dermatologist, and I'm here to discuss with you all issues relating to the skin that you're in. In this podcast, we will tackle the topic of the day quickly to get you the take-home points that you need. After listening to an episode, you should be educated about the topic and able to fix the issue yourself or well-prepared to ask the right questions at your next dermatology appointment. Let's get started. Today, I'd like to discuss lip enhancement, and that mostly covers fillers, but I will also touch upon Botox for the lips, otherwise known as Botox lip flip. But first, I'd like to start with a comment on what not to do if you're trying to enhance your lips. And that is, do not try to make them look like somebody else's lips, such as a celebrity, for instance. Patients will often come in with a picture on their phone of somebody else's lips. And I need to explain to them that I cannot take their lips and make them into somebody else's lips. But I can take their lips and enhance what they have and make them a bit bigger, more luscious, reduce the lines and wrinkles, but I cannot change their baseline lip shape. I can try to even out asymmetry. If somebody has small lips, I can make them more noticeable and better outlined, but I can't really make them big. Also, if someone has big lips, we need to be careful because we don't want them to look weird. So at the consultation, I really try to make sure that the patient and I have the same vision of what we are trying to achieve and realistic expectations. Now I'd like to move on to how we can enhance the lips. The easiest thing to do for most patients is lip filler. That is when I take hyaluronic acid filler of various varieties and brands and I inject it directly into the lips. This typically will enlarge them, but different fillers can provide different results. There are some fillers that are very volumizing, such as Juvederm or Restylane, and there are other fillers that are better for a light lip outline and reducing fine lines and wrinkles around the mouth, such as Volbella or Redensity. Sometimes patients need more than one type of filler to achieve the best results. One thing that I often explain at the consultation that some patients have a hard time understanding is that if the only thing that bothers them is the lines around their lips and they don't want their lips bigger, I still need to inject filler right into the edge of the lip and it might be a millimeter or so bigger. If I just inject above the lip, for most patients, it will not look natural or good that way. And so there are many patients who are just afraid to have their lips injected because they have seen so many bad lip results out in the world, or maybe somebody they know has a bad result. But as I always explain, it's the way that it's injected and who's injecting it and not the product per se. So I recommend that patients look at before and after photos and try to find someone on my website with similar issues to theirs in our gallery of photos so that they can get a realistic sense of what the results might look like. But if they will not let me inject into the edge of their lip, then I really can't perform the procedure and I just decline to do it because I'm not going to do something that I don't think is going to look great. I think that that's important for any consultation that you go to be able to see before and after results on somebody's website. So I think it is important to view those photos. Often in the consultation, patients want to know how long the fillers last, and I will typically say 6 to 12 months. I have seen it less, I've seen it more, but on average, it's 6 to 12 months. And the thing that I love about these fillers that we use is that they are reversible. So if a patient gets a bump, which can occasionally happen, I can remove it. This often puts people at ease to know that this filler is not permanent and it's easily reversible. So that's a good segue into the discussion of complications. So at the consultation, I will talk about what are the common complications of doing a lip filler. Lip fillers will often cause bruising and swelling. That is very common. You really have to expect that. These two things will go away on their own. However, if someone is very swollen, I will often recommend on and off ice packs or cold compresses, oral antihistamines. In rare cases, I will prescribe oral steroids. It's pretty rare, but sometimes that is necessary to reduce severe swelling. For bruising, I usually recommend arnica, which is an herb that comes in pills, gel, or cream. It helps the bruises go away more quickly, and it also can help prevent them if it's taken or used in advance. When I do the injections, I always massage the lips when I am done injecting to try to reduce the risk of any bumps. But occasionally someone will get a bump. It does happen. It can usually go away on its own with massage over a week or two, but I can also inject an enzyme to dissolve the filler and remove the bump. I will typically only do that if the bump is visible, because occasionally someone will have a bump that they can feel but they cannot see, and in that case, I will typically leave it alone because it tends to go away on its own and it's not bothering anyone. But if someone has a visible bump, it is reversible, so that's great news. Once we've decided that we're going to do lip injections, I then need to talk to my patients about how to prepare for that appointment. So I'd like to go over 6 items. Number 1 is numbing cream. Lip injections can hurt, and while some patients will do them with no numbing cream, I highly, highly recommend numbing cream for this procedure. I have patients do numbing cream that they can buy over the counter or get at our office. I have them put it on an hour in advance in a thick coat like icing on a cake. I tell them, try not to eat it. Be careful with how you're applying it. And once the patient gets to our office, when they tell us that we're doing lip filler, we put our super duper numbing cream on top of their at-home version. And by the time I get into the room, they are very numb and the injection is very tolerable. It hurts a little bit, but not that much. Number 2, avoiding blood thinners. Common blood thinners are aspirin, Motrin, Aleve, ibuprofen, vitamin E, and fish oil, but there are many, many others, and I recommend that patients review their medications and their vitamins and supplements and to try to avoid blood thinners for 7 to 14 days before their injection appointment. It depends on which medication it is, how far in advance you have to stop it. For example, in order to avoid bruising from aspirin, you really need to stop it for at least 10 days. Alcohol, it can just be avoiding it for 1 week, et cetera, et cetera. However, if a patient is on blood thinners for medical reasons and cannot come off of them, I can still do the injections, but then you have to really expect 100% chance of bruising. Number 3. I tell people, please try not to have a major event the week of the injection in case of swelling or bruising. This is just common sense. Sometimes people forget this, but try not to have anything major going on the week of the injection. Number 4, if you like to exercise, please do that before you arrive at my office, as after the injection, I will recommend that you take it easy to avoid swelling. Number 5, if you are prone to fever blisters or cold sores, we do give prescription oral medication to pre-treat the day before, day of, and day after to try to avoid getting a cold sore from the injections because they can bring one on. This is typically with valacyclovir or acyclovir. This is very straightforward and commonly done. And number 6, if someone cannot tolerate numbing cream, or they're very nervous about pain, I can do nerve blocks. It takes a little bit of extra time. I really don't do them very often because they cause their own pain and swelling and bruising, but I can do them on occasion if somebody wants them. Now, at the actual appointment, we take off all the numbing cream, I clean the area, and then I inject the lips. It just takes a few minutes. And then we have the patient sit and ice a little bit before leaving, and as I mentioned, I always massage the lips. My favorite filler for volumizing the lips is Juvederm Ultra, and my favorite filler for fine lines and wrinkles around the mouth is Volbella. However, I use other fillers as well, such as Restylane, Restylane Kiss, RHA fillers, Redensity, etc., in the lips, and the decision as to which product to use is made by me in conjunction with what the patient is looking for. And sometimes we discuss what they've had in the past. If they were particularly happy with a filler, I will just repeat it. If they were unhappy with something for a particular reason, I will switch it. So that is a discussion between me and the patient. There are many choices. If the patient has had procedures done by prior injectors, it's really nice to have those records. However, it is not mandatory. I'd like to mention technique. Technique is injector dependent. There are many, many ways to inject the lips and get great results. There is not one best technique. I know there are tons and tons of videos of people having their lips injected in various ways by various types of injectors, but what really matters is results and not the particular needle, cannula, or angle that is used. My results are easily seen on my website with before and after photos. We also have videos on our YouTube channel. That should really be true for any good injector so that you can check out in advance if you like the results, but the techniques can vary and that is okay. Now I'd like to talk about Botox Lip Flip as an option for lip enhancement. This is basically a new term in the last few years that refers to Botox in the upper lip area, but I have been doing Botox to the lips for 20 plus years and it was never called Botox Lip Flip before, so it's really just a trendy term. It's low-dose Botox off-label on the upper lip area to relax that muscle, and it usually helps reduce the lines, and it can slightly evert the lip, giving it a larger appearance. It's typically 2 to 4 units of Botox, a tiny, tiny amount. Because we need this muscle around our mouth to eat and talk, we cannot knock it out like we can with other muscles and Botox that are not necessary for functioning, such as crow's feet. We don't need our crow's feet. We can say bye-bye to them. But we need our lip muscles. So when we use a tiny dose of Botox, it doesn't last very long. Most of my Botox patients come every 3 months for injections, but the Botox, if I do it on the lip, there's no way that 2 to 4 units is going to last for 3 months because it's just such a low dose. But I have found that the results are not really worth it for the patients to come every 6 weeks for a Botox lip flip. It just seems silly. But it does help some patients, and I will do it whenever I do their Botox. I try to explain that Botox is like muscle training. When we go to the gym, you want to pump iron, make our muscles stronger. And with Botox, we are trying to weaken the muscles. And either way, whether you're trying to make the muscles stronger or weaker, you have to hit them over and over again to keep your results. So if we're going to do it, we do have to do it over and over again. I will often do the lower lip too. If somebody has strong lip muscles and is a big lip purser, and we're basically trying to weaken those muscles and prevent them from pursing their lips so much. This will help reduce the motion and improve the lines. This also brings me to my best lip advice, generally speaking, which is to never drink from a straw, to always drink from a wide mouth cup and not a little sippy bottle where you're always pursing your lips. Do not blow bubbles with bubble gum. Do not air kiss people. And try not to purse your lips. Obviously, do not smoke or vape, and adhering to this advice will minimize getting lip wrinkles. However, some people are just natural lip pursers, and when they speak, it's their anatomy and it runs in their family. For those people, it's a really tough fight, but if you're really motivated, you can try to talk to yourself in front of a mirror and see what sounds are causing the lip pursing. And see if it's possible to learn to talk with a little bit of a stiff upper lip so that you don't purse as much. It may be possible. It may be worth a try. It's difficult. Those are the people who benefit from Botox. My last bit of lip advice is to always wear lip balm with sunblock to protect your lips from the sun and a wide brim hat so that you can avoid sun damage to your lips. So in summary, lip enhancement is a very popular procedure. I use fillers and Botox depending on the issues and desired outcome. This is always done in an easy office visit. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Dr. Rebecca Baxt podcast. I'm Dr. Rebecca Baxt, board certified dermatologist. I hope this episode was informative and that you enjoyed listening. If you found this podcast useful, please give us a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcasts. It helps others find us so we can help them too. Just a caveat to remember, this is not medical advice, and please see your dermatologist or doctor for questions pertaining to your specific situation. I look forward to talking with you again in the next episode.